This morning I want to bring before you just a message on the little ones. We had a meeting last week and it was a gathering together of a new group of Evangelical Baptist pastors. And we met in the lounge and guys came from around the country to talk about challenges, concerns, possibilities, opportunities, good and bad, for the future for us as a group of Baptist pastors. And one of the things that was most on our heart was the little ones. And what we mean by that is those that are easily swayed by changes in theology that we're starting to see in our movement. And we weren't just talking about those in congregations and those new folk that come to church. We were also talking about colleagues of ours, the new ones, those who have just graduated, who are being swayed by, it seems, literally in the expression in the New Testament, every wind of doctrine. And so it was most in our hearts when we met about how are the little ones going to be cared for. And a bit of feedback over the last few weeks, a very long reading, so this reading today is very short. It's in Luke 17, verse 1 and 2. Let's read this together. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offences should come, but woe to him who through they come. It would be better for him if a millstone was hung round his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones." And I think I've said a few weeks ago, as I was feeling to speak on a number of things at the start of this year, even though the year is well and truly underway, the little ones is one of the letters of the words that I had and wanted to speak on. So let's pray this morning as we turn to God's word and see what it is that I believe he'd want us to say about this. Father, this is a little bit different. We normally go through and do expository teaching through a series, through a book, etc. But I believe you have shown me that this is something that's really on your heart. And as we see the challenges of not offending the little ones and aware of the times that we may do that, Lord, we ask your sincere and extreme forgiveness. This is a word of challenge for us. I also believe a word of encouragement. Speak to us, Lord, if we have little ones that we have offended, that we have tripped up, that we have made stumble. But Lord, speak your word to us this morning as we turn to it. Amen. So you may be aware that a year and a half ago, we were involved in the planting of Horsville Community Church. And Martin, the planter, who has his office over with us over the way, was visited by someone who strongly said to him a little while after they had got underway that they shouldn't have done it. And some reasonably sort of pressure, undue pressure, shall we say, was brought to bear. It didn't actually affect the ongoing of the church, but it was a very interesting approach made by someone. And it got me thinking about the positions that we hold, not just in positions of leadership in the church, but in each of our positions that we hold in all of life. Are we responsible for inadvertently causing offence to the little ones? And three things I want to talk about in this passage this morning, particularly in verse 2, maybe we can just leave that up there, Nick. And it's three things I want to talk about. One is the defence, secondly, the little ones, and thirdly, what will happen or the consequence or what would be better rather to happen. I may have mentioned this before, but you may be aware of the word onomatopoeia, which talks about, it's an English term, which means about the word sounds like it actually is. If we use the word crash, it sounds like what happens when something crashes, or tinkle when something just gently crashes, as it were. And we have the words that speak of the way the sound, the word soothe, is a word that sounds as it is, a word of comfort. And it may be a little bit sort of incorrect of me to think this was an English thing, and not at all. We see this in all languages. In German, for example, snow is to schnee. Snow is sort of a gentle word speaking of something gentle that comes down. And in these three words that I want to look at, the words, the original words in Greek that we'll have a look at, also speak about the feeling that comes behind them. And the first word here, the word I want to look at is offence. And the word offence in Greek is scandalon, or where we get the word scandal. And they're both sort of hard sounding words, offended and scandal. The background to them is something that is very much terrible. A scandal may be sounding worse than an offence, but it's something in the eyes of God is something that should not be happening. The thing about offence here that we're seeing is it's something that has happened and it causes a reaction. And the word offence here, this word scandal, means to stumble or cause to trip up. So somebody that's continuing in a particular direction or going along, we cause to stumble as a result of being other than a little one. So in a sense, this message this morning is to the big ones or the other than the little ones. It's not to the least or the lost or the last. It's to those of us who are in a position that we may find ourselves in leading or, sadly, misleading the little ones. We might be sitting here today saying, that's not me. I'm not a big one. I'm not other than someone who would lead. But everything we do has influence on someone else. And there is often, if we look around, someone slightly below us, someone who's looking up to us, taking a lead, taking a direction. And the warning here about causing one of those to stumble is huge. And I really had to examine it as I looked this week and think, man, how many times have I done that in being self-righteous or understood that I've got a particular take on something or overbearing or whatever it might be that has actually caused a little one to stumble and gone away in a different place than where they should have been. And this judgment falls upon me. And it falls upon me and it falls upon us, those of us who find ourselves in that position that have caused this offence, or as the Greek word unblemished or undiluted, it says it causes a scandal. So it appears here that this has been a warning given at the end of a number of warnings, if we look back in Luke, in the book of Luke here, because this is something that must have been happening quite regularly. It's a warning that Jesus gives because this thing of offending or causing someone little to trip or to be stumbling is something that happens and it causes a reaction. The reaction isn't that the person offending the little ones, the scandal that happens. We tend to think of the offence being that a person comes back, and that's why it's good sometimes to look back at the roots of the words. The little child rises up and said, I'm offended at that. That's a terrible thing that you've done. That's not often what little ones do. They end up stumbling and falling by the wayside. And that's the cause, that's the effect, if you like, of the offence that happens or the stumbling that happens. See, a little one's not going to look at us and say, I'm offended to cause it and say, wow, I did that thing, I caused offence, I'm so sorry that wasn't intended. And if that's the case, it can be dealt with there and then. Or if you feel that something needs to be discussed further, you can say, well, I didn't mean to offend, but this is the issue. Once again, it can be discussed. But with a little one, we don't get that sort of outcome. The little one is tripped up, offended, as it were, lies on the ground, stumbles and falls, and we may not even be aware. And it's sometimes later we look back and say, where's such and such, or where's so and so? And we may not be aware that we were the ones that caused them to stumble. I was looking through this also and looking at the number of the times it said him and maybe not her and they, and thinking, is it men that cause others to stumble more than women? Possibly. I suspect it happens between the sexes. And yet many times for us as men, we believe that we've got a particular point that we need to make. And there was a phrase that was bandied around here many years ago, I hope that's not true today, was it said that the person won the argument but lost the man. And it was a wee bit of a phrase around here, not sure necessarily, some of you may remember it, and it wasn't lost the person, it was lost the man, because two men had come to position. And the person felt that by the weight of their argument or by the strength of their position, and I'm sure there were some very important arguments and positions to be made, but the end result of the way that it was done lost the man. Man, that's convicted me when I've determined in myself that we wouldn't say that, that wouldn't be said of us in future, or any of us for that matter. Because the little one stumbles. They may have been offended and be indignant, but by and large, it's not the person that comes back to you. So the happening of offences seems to be regular back then, still happens today. And the reaction is not of the offence coming back at you, but the person lying by the wayside. Maybe even now I've said enough to reflect on, and there may be someone that we know this week we need to make amends with. And it would be terrible, terrible. In fact, as I'll talk about shortly, it would be better if this person had a millstone round their neck and cast into the sea than stand before God having caused an offence to a little one who has stumbled and fallen and is not going to end up being in heaven. A terrible, terrible thing. So this sounds like a bit of a warning, and I guess it is, because Christ is warning on offences here. And maybe for us, we know of someone who we need to go back this week and say, brother, sister, I've caused offence. This is not right that I've done this. And that word offence, that hard thing, it is a scandal in God's eyes if we have caused that. The second word I want to look at is the little ones. Hun, would you mind going and grab me Alex, please? I've arranged this beforehand. And we've got a couple of little ones that I want to introduce us to this morning. We're going to have a little conversation with them just about what it's like to be a little one here at Beckenham. And you may or may not be surprised at the answers. And it may be that when the person comes up, that you can say, yeah, I think I know what he'll say. But I just want you, if we could please, I want us to listen and hear as I ask a couple of questions. The word little one in Greek is mikos. It's a nice little sort of, it's something about the milk ones, the ones who drink the milk. And the word mikos, or miklos, sorry, is the same word, is the Greek word for the little ones. The little ones that are precious and special, still drinking the milk, still starting off, sussing things out, etc. And the same term of affection that we have for the little ones is exactly the same as the folk in the day would. And I've just asked Alex to help me with this, and he was really keen at the start, and hopefully he's still up for it. So Alex, do you want to come up here, wee man? Come and stand up here, and we're going to have a quick little chat. Hun, do you mind grabbing the microphone? Thanks. Do you want to pop up here a little? Is that cool? Stand up if you like. Yeah, don't be shy. I'll give you that, thanks, if you wouldn't mind. Right, so this is Alex. Does everybody know Alex? I think they do. Say hello, Alex.
Hello.
Hello. So Alex, can you hold the microphone?
Yeah.
Good on. He's pretty brave, this wee man, etc. Yeah, and he's got not short of a few words. I found when I took the rock last week. So Alex, I'm just going to ask you. Yep, awesome. So Alex is one of the little ones here, and he is obviously little in stature.
Four.
Yep. And little in
four and a half.
Four and a half. Absolutely. So a little bit younger than some of us here, and Alex has been coming here. How long have you been coming here, Alex?
From. A lot of days.
Yeah, quite a few days. That's right.
A week.
A week, probably longer than a week. Yes, absolutely.
Week.
Not a shy young man, as you can see. So with Alex here, yep, that's the way. So Alex, tell us, what is it like coming to church?
Nice.
Why is it nice?
Because I love it very much and it's so cool.
Excellent. Loves it very much and it's so cool. And who are the people out there you know? Do you know some of the names of the people out there? Anybody out there? Would you like to know some of the names of the people out there?
Granny!
Granny, okay. So Alex knows Granny. He may not know many of you, but you guys might know Alex. But he's a little one that would love to get to know the family of God, isn't it? So what I would encourage you to do for Alex is at the end of the service, if you
John.
Thought so. Yep, good. No, yes, Jono. Okay, so Granny and Jono, two. That's two. Fantastic. I think for a lot of, and?
Yep.
You, okay. So what's my name? That's my name. So this is an example of a little one that we would hate to cause to stumble. He would love to have a connection with you and get to know at the end. Thanks, Alex. Thank you very much. Big hand for Alex. Awesome. Well done.
Awesome.
We'll talk to you later. Cheers. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Kieran to come up here. Now, Kieran is, when we talk about the little ones, often we talk about those who are can be often quite new. And so, Kieran, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, because a little while ago, you had a wonderful presentation that you presented. So I've got two microphones going here. You had a wonderful presentation that you presented up the front there. Can you remember the summary of what you want? Just hold the mic up there, of what you wanted to tell us in that.
I think I found a bit nervous of doing it.
Yep.
And it was one of my things that I wanted to do.
Excellent. So. And what was it that you asked the congregation when you put that can anyone remember the presentation that Kieran did, what, 5 or 6 weeks ago, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What did you have in the presentation, just to remind us?
It was about my old school, how I got bullied and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And how I hit my head on the drawbar of the trailer. And yeah.
And that's how it's ended up affecting your life today.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. And can anybody remember what the question was that Kieran asked of the congregation? He asked a genuine question of us, and he really wanted a response that we could make. Yes? Wonderful. Thanks, Lorna. So here's an example of a little one who's asked and said, hey, I had a really bad accident. It's not gone so well for me. I love being here and I would love to help. So I just want to encourage us to think about that heartfelt request from one of our little ones, and he would love to help and really do make the most of this wonderful, generous young man. Thanks, Kieran. On your man. Big hand for Kieran. Please, I didn't want to embarrass anyone or from any position on that particular example, but we have little ones that want to have engagement, want to have connection. Could I encourage us to think about the little ones of whatever size and whatever age? Because it may well be that as we do that, that someone actually reaches down to us and says, hey, I've been ignoring you. I'd like to sort of catch up. And how do we feel when someone bigger than us notices and says, hey, it'd be great to talk. It'd be great to catch up. How's it going for you? How can I help? And it may be someone that we have expected that of some time. And if we have expected that someone should have reached out and looked out to us, it's quite likely there's someone, a little one to us, that we should be reaching out. So think about the least and the last, and think about those around who it is. And lastly, this word cast, it's better that he be cast into the depths of the sea with a millstone round his neck. In other words, no hope of survival. The word cast is ripcon. It's a real solid, you know, onomatopoeic word of something that is pretty permanent. And so if someone is to be cast into the sea, it's saying that this is better, incredibly, than causing an offence. Now, is it better for who? It says it's better for the person that they be cast into the sea than to offend one of the little ones. Hard to say really what God has in store for those who offend the little ones, but it must be pretty bad if it's better that that person be cast into the sea. It would certainly be better for the little one if that happened. And if we consider the consequence or whatever that is that God has in store, as I say, it must be fairly severe. So today I bring, in the best way that I know how, a warning about this at the start of the year. I don't believe the Lord would have given me this word because it wouldn't be my normal style to speak in this way. Please hear me on that, to speak about that, unless maybe there's some work to do. And it may just be a little bit of tidying up around the edges. It may well be that's all it is. Yet I don't believe that we would have been given the word about the little ones had there not been something that he would want us to do. It would be better for us, as we see here, to have a millstone round our neck and to be cast in the depths of the sea than to offend one of the little ones. But the much better thing would of course be what? Not to offend in the first place. So I trust there's something in this there as we consider how it is that we might go from here on in. Some position that we might hold and we say, I know better on that particular thing. I believe I have a better understanding of that position, and may well be that you do. Please don't get me wrong, it may be that you do actually have a better understanding. But the way, of course, in which we say it. And I'm conscious that many times I've either not had the time or the patience or, dare I say, loved the person enough to go the journey to have that discussion and the explanation. It's been a case of this person needs the benefit of my wisdom, and they'll get it rather short form rather than long form. And so many times we see examples of where Jesus needed to take it, and this warning we haven't done justice because of the brevity of the reading about the long, long story, because he was speaking here. If we read back about three chapters before, a long, long story. It said the tax collectors and sinners. Do you love it? It's sort of straight up. Here we are, sinners, coming to hear what the Lord is saying through his word, all of us. So the tax collectors and the sinners came to hear him, and the Pharisees were standing around the outside. Was he talking to the tax collectors and sinners when the warning was given, or was he talking to the Pharisees around the outside who did not want to engage with the tax collectors and sinners? It's very clear that while he was teaching those who wanted to hear what he had to say, the words also carried to those who very much did not. Please, church, let us not be those who do not want to hear the words of warning in this. Let us consider who the little ones are that we need to reconcile with before the warning that is in Scripture comes upon us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he wouldn't be, I believe, bringing this to us unless there was at least a little bit to do in this area. I just want to pray to close today and leave this warning. Steve.
Can I just share something on what you're saying? Can I share something? It really lines up with what you're saying.
On Friday, I don't know if you know, but it was the Gay Pride Parade in the city, in Christchurch. And there was a group of about three or four of us. We were in Cashel Mall, but we were on the opposite side to where they were, because they had the tram there stopped. They had a screen around, and they had all the people, you know, the people...
Drag queens.
Yeah. You know, the group around that, and they were all listening to what this one guy was saying, one particular guy from the council was saying, and they're all clapping and carrying on. And I'm standing there with these guys, and in my mind I'm thinking, you know, the very scripture that Tony talked about up here, it'd be better for a millstone to be hung around them their necks than for them to stand up and show something that is totally against the principles of God. They were, you know, and we were able to, one guy was a young fella, he would have been probably maybe in his late teens, had been taking hormone treatment, and he was standing there, and one of the guys was talking to him, the good man test. And it was interesting, the response. We were standing there, there's about two or three of us, we were just praying behind them as he was being spoken to by this other Christian. And there was a guy came across from the other side of the street, a Christian as well, and he made a comment. He says, it was interesting. He says, it looked like the light was shining on you guys from the opposite side of the street. He could see a light upon us that obviously was the light of God. And that scripture came to me, you know, constantly came to me. It would be better for a millstone to be hung around their neck than to lead one of these little ones astray. Because there were hundreds of people around them listening and getting involved. God, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. I want to finish with just a short story before we close in prayer. A few conversations this week about little ones, speaking to folk that were in different positions, and the conversations went something along like this. These are folk that are on the edge of the church. These are folk that maybe have come for some time and maybe not now, or come occasionally. And one of the conversations went something like, I'll call him Jim. Hey, Jim, haven't seen you for some time, just wondering what's going on. Oh, yeah, pretty busy, you know. There was this thing and that thing, and not just talking about Sundays, but, you know, life group and what have you. And I said, so what's going on for you? Is this decision that I think you made some time ago, is this real for you? Oh, not really. And I said, but it was sincere at the time, and folk at church prayed for you, and we've continued to pray for you, etc., etc. And the conversation seemed to be, well, yeah, not so much anymore. How do I speak into that situation to not cause someone to stumble? And in that situation, causing them not to stumble is actually having to warn them about their eternal destiny. It seems odd when so many times we say, oh, it would be offensive to say to them, yes, and we've talked about the offense of the gospel a few weeks ago, that you need to re-engage, that this is a serious predicament that you're in. And I had a conversation by text along those lines with someone else this week. So sometimes causing someone not to stumble is to bring them up and to lift them up and say, brother, sister, I'm concerned about your eternal destiny. If this continues on in the place that you're in, your salvation is in peril. And sometimes that's not easy to say, and we think, man, that sounds like that's causing offence. We mustn't confuse the offence of the gospel, which is necessary to bring, with the offences that would cause little ones to stumble. They're two different meanings of the same situation. So could I encourage us in our endeavours to reconcile, to engage with those little ones, but also to speak the challenging words to those little ones that are drifting. Both of these things we need to do so that we're not going to cause that offence to happen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word to us, and we know that in the way that there was words of warning given to those when this was written and first spoken, you were speaking to those who wanted to hear, but you were really speaking to those maybe who didn't want to hear. Father, help us not be people who don't want to hear, who don't want to hear the warning. It's so much better that we hear the warning now and we respond than we be one of the ones who you say it would be better for us to have a millstone and cast around our neck. A terrible death, yet that would be better. So, Lord, you take offending the little ones, causing them to stumble, to trip over and to fall, and not lifting them again. You take that very, very seriously. And we here at Beacon and want to take what you say in your word seriously, seriously also. Speak to us, encourage us, challenge us. And may there be testimony after testimony comes when little ones are restored by either words of correction and words of encouragement to re-engage, or where our words have caused offence unnecessarily, that we're able to restore those situations. Go before us, Lord Jesus. We pray for grace and favour in those conversations, because we're probably already aware of some that we don't want to have. Maybe family members, maybe friends, people that are no longer in our orbit because of the offence that we may have caused. Go with us, we pray. Thank you for your word to us, even if it has words of challenge that speak to us, because you want the best for us, and you want the best for those little ones also. Amen.
Of course, we'd love for you to stay for tea and coffee and fellowship after the service, and if you'd like prayer, feel free to come to the front, and someone will be happy to pray with you. But stand with us for our last song, When I Was Lost.